My entitled boss, who is a Karen, forced my entire office to travel over 2 hours every single day just to make it to our new location for work, and she only did this so she could cut cost. But after dealing with this for so many months, I finally decided that enough was enough. So I decided to start a rebellion with all of my coworkers, forcing my entitled Karen of a boss to see how wrong they truly were. Here's what happened. So I worked for a large international accounting firm with offices all over the country. Our boss, who is the Karen of this story, was well-liked until she became the boss, a smiling assassin type who only cared about her position and looking good in front of the higher-ups. All about the numbers, even if what we had to do to get to those numbers didn't make any sense. So with that bit of background out of the way, here's what happened. My team had about 12 people, and we were primarily based in the London office, but once a week, per my contact and everyone else's, we were required to work in a remote office ages away from London. This place was miserable. A building in the middle of nowhere, one tiny corner shop for snacks, and it was next to a motorway. The nearest place to eat was a 15-minute drive away. We all hated it. But on the bright side, it was only once a week. Anyways, when our boss got promoted, her sole life mission was to cut cost. Everything from stopping overtime to telling us we had no stationary budget for pens and that we had to just take from other team stores, all the way to allowing only one meal on social drinks, and then making comments at the meal when someone chose theirs to be a more expensive option. She would seriously say stuff like, "Are you really choosing that? It's so expensive. I'm not sure we're gonna have enough money in the budget for that." Now, this is considering all other teams went for large fancy dinners all the time, and they also had unlimited drinks and so many other perks. At one point, she actually decided that the miserable location should be our primary office, and she wanted us to all go there 4 days a week instead of one. All but one of our team members were living in London. This meant for me, I had a 2.5-hour journey one way instead of 1 hour. And let me tell you, after a few months, this really took its toll. The assistant manager, who's a friend of mine, told me she said in passing to him that this office was less of a cost on our team budget than the London office. So seriously, what a shock, am I right? Well, I decided to speak to HR and see what my options are. Maybe get some kind of exception. Well, it turns out we had a policy that anything over your normal travel hours to the closest office location to your home could be used as your working hours. So the extra 1.5 hours each way would then be considered working hours. So I could arrive at 10:30 instead of 9 a.m. and leave at 4 instead of 5:30. Also, if trains and things were delayed or canceled, that would also be included in working hours. This happened often, as this place was in the middle of nowhere, and there were infrequent trains that came along. So I was often arriving at 11:30. I forwarded the emails with HR to her and explained how I would be complying with this policy. Now, the entitled Karen agreed, but tried in a meeting to tell me this was an exception for me and to not tell anyone else about it. Well, guess what? I ended up ignoring her and telling literally everybody else about this. And you know what? We all began complying with the policy. This meant we spent less time in the office and productivity eventually dwindled. She mentioned this a lot in meetings. I would often respectfully point out that it didn't make sense to force us to travel to this office and it's only having negative effects. And I was the main one speaking up about this. At some point, maybe a few months later, she told me I could go 5 days in the London office, but again, this was a special arrangement for me, while also saying that she appreciated me and was making accommodations only for me. She also said she would tell everyone I had special circumstances that allowed me this arrangement and to keep our conversation confidential. I honestly think she just got fed up with me pointing out how our productivity is lower only because she made us travel there 4 days a week. Of course I complied, but the team honestly noticed that I wasn't with them, and let's just say it caused a bit of a riot. I didn't say anything, but they all figured it out themselves that there were no special circumstances going on for me. Slowly but surely, one after the other, my colleagues started joining me in London, getting their own special arrangements with my manager. And at some point, the majority of the people were in London. Eventually, it was just her and the only other colleague at this office while we were all in London. We all had a good chuckle about when she would cave, and it honestly took a good few weeks to make that happen. Then we got the email that our permanent location going forward would be London, and that would be 5 days a week. And the one local employee to that terrible office would work from home and come in once a month. It may have happened anyways, but I like to think that me speaking to HR and finding that policy at least had a hand in getting us moved back to London. As for the Karen, I could go on about so many stories with her, but I did did eventually leave for reasons directly related to her. Unfortunately, she is still in the same position at that company. I do, however, enjoy seeing her checking my LinkedIn profile from time to time and hopefully noticing that since I left, I have gone from a junior position all the way up to the same position as her. Yeah, that's a really selfish thing to do to your team. Literally, she's like, okay, we're gonna cut cost, so I'm gonna make all of you travel hours every single day just to get to work. Like, seriously, people are more than just numbers. You need to look at this logistically and think, okay, will this be a nightmare for everybody involved? Because guess what? If you make people travel over an hour to go to a location that they definitely did not need to go to, then there's gonna be problems in the workplace. Like, this entitled Karen was only thinking about her bonus at the end of the year. So good for the original poster for speaking up, because the way they were being treated, as well as their co-workers were being treated, is honestly so disgusting, and they did not deserve that in the slightest. If you like Am I the Jerk, you're probably going to love Am I the Genius. Check it out, link down below in the description. Also, go to amithejerk.com/submit if you would like to submit your own stories. My girlfriend's house is completely unlivable, but now that she's living with me 24/7, we are now being challenged by getting into an argument just about every single day. And after dealing with this for so long, I'm now worried that this could affect our relationship permanently. And at this point, I don't know what to do. Here's what happened. So my girlfriend and I are in the midst of our second year of university after doing our first year abroad, which is where we met. We sorted out our housing situation for the following year without being able to vet our apartments or roommates. In other words, it was a complete gamble. Thankfully, I got extremely lucky as I had a longtime friend already living on the main campus. My family also has more financial wiggle room, so I'm able to afford a two-bedroom with just me and him. I have a cozy, furnished apartment with a pretty chill roommate. Needless to say, I'm extremely grateful for my situation. My girlfriend, on the other hand, was a lot less fortunate. She ended up having to sign a year-long lease with four other girls that she had only met a month prior. The house turned out to be old and decrepit with a negligent landlord. One of the girls turned out to be an absolute pig who feels entitled to make the entire house her personal mess. Her boyfriend is constantly over, clogging the toilet, and just generally being disrespectful. Did I mention she takes any criticism personally and gets defensive? Which is just all around joyous. Every single one of the other girls has had a mental breakdown purely from living there. The house is dusty, poorly maintained, and it's been very difficult for my girlfriend to feel at home in her little nook of a room. This has been a consistent problem, so my girlfriend is at my place a lot sleeping over, sometimes for a week at a time. Currently, it's even worse. The hot water has stopped working, and the landlord is taking absolutely forever to fix it. All five of them are either living with their boyfriends or back in their hometowns until it gets fixed, because it is just so miserable living there. Like, it's a borderline human rights violation. The water is straight up brown. Naturally, she is living with me, as my roommate is understanding of her situation, and she's extremely respectful, even offering to clean and cook dinner on occasion. I should add that during our first year, she essentially lived with me as well. She had a roommate that made her uncomfortable, and we were more than willing to constantly be in each other's presence. So she eventually moved all of her stuff into my dorm room. We would chat all the time. The constant access to intimacy was good, and we got into very few arguments. We did, however, need occasional alone time, and she would escape to her room just for that. I mean, it's just not feasible to spend 24/7 together in one room. Even married couples don't do that. In this instance, though, things are a bit different. She's a 20-minute walk from her place, so she's often too tired to leave if she wants alone time. She also has to bring a big bag of her stuff back and forth in case she sleeps here. And even if she did go to her place right now, it is so unlivable that it's actually impractical to even be there. It's not like she would be able to chill there until she falls asleep or anything. She has to walk back if she wants to wash her face or brush her teeth, as well as cook literally any food or even wash her hands after using the bathroom. It's honestly ridiculous. Nowadays, she is basically getting cabin fever at my place. As school stress picks up, the frequency of our arguments is increasing. Also, for a variety of reasons, not just this, our collective mental health is in the gutter. So, on many days, we just take our ADHD medication and sit silently, doing schoolwork or scrolling on our phones, not even talking or joking around for long stretches of time. It isn't driving us completely insane, we just wish that there was an easy way for us to get alone time while also being in a comfortable space. She had a really rough day today, and I'm not sure my constant presence was helping. I don't take it personally, as we've all been there. It just seems like there's no real solution solution because it's not immediately obvious that her living situation will get much better. We love each other a lot, but it kind of just feels like we're roommates who occasionally spend time together and get into mini arguments once every day or two. What I just described sounds like a 20th anniversary situation and not a 1 year anniversary situation instead. Our brains are not developed enough for this. So what do we do? How do we manage this? I am a tad worried that the health of our relationship might continue to suffer unless we find some kind of solution. What should I do? It kind of sounds like the both of you need to get out of the house. You need to find something to do outside of your apartment just so both of you can have some downtime outside of that space. It really does sound like you're both getting cabin fever and like you're both like spending all the time together. So of course you're gonna have arguments. Like that would happen with literally anybody. I don't care who you are. So sure, there is a space for her to have alone time of some kind, but also the both of you need to get out and do something besides staying at home. For example, you could study in the library instead of staying at home, or you could find some kind of like club you can join and participate in that outside of school just so you can have some other place to go to that isn't school, home, or work. Like I really think that would be valuable for like your own mental health. So hopefully this will all work out, because honestly, this would be a horrible way for your relationship to fall apart.
ButcherBox is 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood, all humanely raised with no antibiotics or added hormones. And all of that delivered straight to your door with free shipping, always. Imagine always having high-quality cuts in your freezer ready to go with no trips to the grocery store or planning out availability and knowing that it's food you can trust. There are curated to customized box plans at incredible value. Saving money at a grocery store is getting more and more difficult, especially when you're trying to get consistently high-quality meat. Sign up at butcherbox.com/jerk and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free-for-a-year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/jerk and use code JERK to choose your free for a year offer. Plus, get $20 off your first order.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
My dad is on a tirade because I want to have Thanksgiving with my mom and her family. And right now he's treating me like garbage and saying horrible lies about me to his extended family, all because I don't want to have Thanksgiving with him. And at this point, I seriously don't know what to do. Here's what happened. To start things off, I'm an 18-year-old male and I just graduated from high school this June. My parents got divorced beginning of last year and I've been split on a week-by-week basis, switching off between them. It has been very rocky and probably the worst worst year of my life. My relationship with my mom is good, but she and I have a few issues, but we are generally good. As for my father, he's done a lot to screw over my life recently. For context, he's always been unsure, but I knew he was showing his true colors when college applications came around. I make short films. I write 24/7 and I act. I literally do all of it. My whole life, I've wanted nothing more than to be in the film industry. My parents have known this and been supportive. But when I finally got accepted into my dream film school, I was planning things out to go and found out my dad spent all my college money on a trailer. He tends to be a compulsive buyer when he's upset, and the divorce sent him off to spend $100,000 on a trailer. That money could have paid my whole college and enough for me to live on my own for months, if not longer. And most of that money was for my college. Then he did the same thing with my car money and bought a motorcycle for himself instead. In the past year and a half, he's only used both of them less than 5 times. He doesn't cook for us and gives us cheap microwave meals to eat, but will then cook himself big protein-filled meals, which simply doesn't help. And he's great at manipulation and scare tactics from his old job. Well, fast forward to now, and Thanksgiving is right around the corner. This morning we were at my mom's, and today is the day we switch over to our dad's. Mind you, I'm 18 years old, and my brother is 21 years old, so we don't have to go to either place, but I appreciate both of my parents even still. So this morning, we texted our dad that we wanted to have Thanksgiving with our mom and her family, because it just makes more sense. With our dad, we can choose any day this week to enjoy a dinner and our time together, since it is just us three. With our mom's family, it would take lots of planning to get everyone's schedules aligned. But my dad, upon seeing this text message, sent me an angry emoji face, and then went on to write a paragraph about how he'd planned the whole thing. He in fact did not tell us a single detail about Thanksgiving, and never even asked what we wanted. So we were just completely in the dark. I explained to him, any other night works fine. And he responded, no, I'll cancel everything. Do what you want. Which is very passive aggressive. Tonight, I overheard him on the phone with his long distance girlfriend, who's still married to her husband, mind you, and my dad was letting loose to her. He goes off on my mother and her family, and on my brother and myself. He calls them horrible names, especially my mother. He lies about many more things, and how we don't have any respect. He said that I just sit on the computer doing nothing all day, despite the fact that my work is freelance work, and all my editing, animating, and writing is done on the computer. He also refers to what I do on the computer as me being lazy. He says that we screwed him over, and that we just don't care, claiming that we get all of this from our mom. He then lies to her, and says he planned the whole thing and told us, and we rejected that, and said that we are doing our own thing. But that's not even the worst of it. He said even though I offered another day, he wants to say to us, no, you guys keep your stupid, awful microwave meals I buy, and you can go have a meal with your mother and everyone else. I'm not gonna go out of my way and do anything else for you guys when you didn't plan anything anyways. Then he goes on to say he's let us live under his roof for free and buys us everything. For the record, we do all the chores and upkeep here, and he only buys us groceries. Ever since the divorce, even when I was 17, he forced my mother to buy clothing, school supplies, and a lot more. There is so much more, and I've rambled already for so long, but I really just need some advice. What am I supposed to do about him and everything he said about me? I'm not exactly in the position to move out on my own, especially without a car, because he used my car money to buy something else. I just have no clue what to do. I mean, do I even confront him? Do I keep it in until I can somehow move out? He doesn't handle confrontation well. He just gets incredibly angry, and his imposing figure doesn't help. What should I do? So in my opinion, if I was in your shoes, I would be silently finding a way to move out and get away from him. Now, I'm not saying that's what you should do. I think you need to weigh your options and figure out what's best for you and your situation. I mean, there's a lot of nuance going on here that I can't possibly understand. But just from the surface level of what you've described, I would be looking around to friends and other family members, or even extended family members that I know I can trust, and be like, hey, can I move in with you? And then just straight up explain the situation. But in my opinion, based on the way your dad acts, and the way he just doesn't handle confrontation, I think approaching him and having any kind of conversation would be a horrible idea. This guy seems like a hothead. It seems like he's just trying to find ways to get back at your mother, because he clearly doesn't like her. And I'm willing to bet he's the reason why his marriage fell apart. I would also, depending on how I feel about my mom in this scenario, go to her and be like, hey, can I move in with you for a while until I at least have some like full-time work that can get me a paycheck so that I can have my own apartment and and all this other stuff. Don't get me wrong, I get that you're doing freelance work and all this other stuff, but typically I'm willing to guess that your work is probably very low pay since you're so young, so it's not like you're making a significant amount to try and support yourself. So I know if I was in your scenario, I would look to my mom or somebody else to try and get out, because your dad sounds incredibly toxic, and there's no way in the world I would ever want to put up with that if I was in your shoes. Today, I messed up by leaving my friend at a gas station during a road trip. And now, as a result, my friend is refusing to talk to me, and now I seriously don't know what to do. Here's what happened. Okay, for starters, I'm a 21-year-old male, and I have two friends. We'll call them Jake and Rick for this story, just to protect their privacy. We were planning a road trip down to the southeast for months, and a week ago we finally did it, until things went horribly wrong. The first 2 days go by smoothly. We all take turns driving, and we're having a great time chatting. We're stopping by various tourist destinations and seeing lots of cool things. In order to maximize the amount of time we're actually doing fun stuff or making progress on the drive, we made a rule to limit all stops for bathroom or food to 10 minutes or less. This will be important later on. On day 3, we didn't get on the road until 10 o'clock in the morning, which was way later than we wanted to, but Rick had a stomach ache and was in the bathroom for quite a while. And that was honestly fine. We forgot about it and hit the road. We then stopped at a few cool places along the way. At around 3 o'clock p.m., we stopped at a gas station for a bathroom break. Jake and I went to the bathroom and bought a couple snacks, and were back in the car in about 4 minutes. I had Jake set a 5-minute timer for Rick because he was still in the bathroom, likely with a stomach ache again. The timer went off, Jake went in and banged on the bathroom door. Rick said, "Oh, I need a couple of minutes." Jake comes back to the car and lets me know, and I turn the car on and start to drive off. Jake starts yelling at me, but I tell him to relax and that it's just a joke. I was planning on turning around in a couple of minutes. I just wanted to give Rick a little bit of a scare. Well, about 3 minutes later, right about when I was planning to turn back around and pick Rick back up, Jake starts to get a call from him. I say to him, "Please don't answer, don't answer the phone," and I was laughing uncontrollably. Jake agrees and now is also amused by the prank, and we get about 4 more calls on the way back to the gas station. Well, when we get there, Rick is gone. Now, we didn't find out until much later, but apparently he got so anxious and angry that he called a chain of Ubers to drive him back home. And I know what you're thinking, that is a bit of an overreaction, but I feel bad for the guy. Jake and I immediately tried calling him back when we couldn't find him at the gas station, but he never picked up. So now this harmless prank caused us to cut the trip extremely short, as me and Jake immediately drove straight back home and got back the next day. Rick still isn't picking up calls, and whenever we tried to knock on his door, his girlfriend told us he didn't want to see us. I'm hoping he'll get over it, and honestly, I don't know if this is a very appropriate reaction, but deep down, I'm really scared that I lost a valuable friendship over this silly prank. Yeah, you're a massive jerk. I just want to start off by saying that. If my friend decided to leave me in some gas station that I didn't know about after having a stomach ache in the middle of nowhere, I would lose my mind. This is not a silly prank, and it's definitely not harmless. Like, the fact that you're saying that is honestly so disturbing to me. Like, you literally betrayed his trust in a way that is so inappropriate, and then he had to go through a series of Uber rides just to get home. Like, seriously, what is your problem? Why would you think that this is okay to do to somebody? Honestly, a lot of trust goes into a road trip, and one of those things that you can't break for a second is the trust that you are gonna take care of each other. So driving away and leaving your friend in the bathroom just so he can fend for himself is honestly so toxic. There is literally no good excuse for that, and I don't blame Rick for being angry with you. Even reading back through your post, I'm honestly offended that you're trying to justify this prank. You're trying to act like, "Oh man, he's so mad after I left him in the middle of nowhere. It was just a silly, harmless prank." Well, guess what, buddy? You just lost your best friend, all because you decided to literally abandon him in the middle of nowhere. If this was somewhere where he was, like, familiar with his surroundings, it would be way different. Like, if you were in your hometown or something like that, I think everybody could probably laugh at this and be okay with it. But you decided to ditch him in the middle of nowhere, all while he's sick and feeling very vulnerable. So honestly, in my opinion, this is not an overreaction. The fact that you're trying to underplay the severity of this, in my opinion, is completely uncalled for. And if anything, you're having an underreaction. So yeah, I think you're a massive jerk for this, and I don't blame Rick for a second for deciding not to talk to you or your friend ever again. Because seriously, both of you are terrible friends, and Rick deserved a lot better than the both of you on this road trip. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. To finish listening to all the stories, Check out the playlist at the top of the description. And if you want some chill music to put on in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Jerk, subscribe to Am I the Genius. Everything will be linked down below in the description.